So when it was suggested that I speak on this topic, so I thought to myself, you know, there's a Yid in, there's a Rav in Lakewood who wrote a book on this topic, Rav Yosef Kushner, wrote a book in English, A Commerce on Shabbos. So really he would be the person to speak on the topic, but I figured, you know, he's not going to be coming down to this conference, so therefore, you know, I might as well speak about it. Then lo and behold, I find out that he's actually on the list over here, so of speakers. So really, if I'd have known, I would have given the topic to him, but I'll do my best. The topic, business and Shabbos, you know, by far the best thing is that a person should close his business on Shabbos completely. That's what we really want. That's the way it was for Dori Doris. It always was like that. People were Moser Nefesh. They Yidden, even though the Panosa was hard, they closed the business on Shabbos. They gave up 1/7 of their profits. And they didn't rely on any, you know, as much as possible, they tried not to rely on ways around it. They closed their business. That's the best. If a person can close his business for Shabbos without any ifs and buts, that's by far the best. However, nowadays, with modern businesses, as just mentioned, it's hard to do that. There's some businesses where it's almost impossible to close them for Shabbos. And the question is what to do. So what I'd like to do, I'm going to give you four scenarios of people, very common scenarios, of people who have businesses and they have this problem. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about the basic halachas. And then we're going to come back to those four scenarios and discuss solutions. Okay, so here are the four scenarios which are problematic. These are the four scenarios which it's very hard to close these businesses on Shabbos. Okay, the first one is like this. Again, these are businesses which are very common. Somebody owns an IT business. An IT business means that he services firms which have computers, and you know, if their computers go down, you gotta be available. You can't tell the people, well, yeah, you know, you can't do any business because your computers are down, you're a very big firm, but, you know, just don't do business for a day or two. It's a 2-day Yom Tov. I'll come back to you in 3 days' time. You know, no one's gonna use you. You can't do that. If you're an IT business, their whole business depends on their computer. They needed service now. They don't have any time to waste. So therefore, you gotta have some solution over here. You know, I can't just say it's Shabbos, it's Yom Tov, I'm sorry. So any person who runs a company like that, he has this problem. What does he do? You know, it's true, he doesn't have to take in new orders, he doesn't have to do things which could be pushed off, can be pushed off, but there are emergencies which happen. So what's he going to do? That's one scenario, a very common scenario, which needs a solution. The second scenario, as was, well, perhaps, you know, the question which I think we get asked the most about these kind of things, is some of yourselves on yourselves things online. So if you sell online, again, same problem that if you're able to, you can close your whole website for Shabbos. That's very nice. But people who use another platform, people who sell on Amazon, you can't do that. You can't do that. Amazon won't let. You can't just close it for Shabbos. So you got to keep it open. Otherwise, you can't sell in this forum. You can't close it for Shabbos. It won't work. You know, and even if you theoretically, maybe even if there is some way to close it for Shabbos, but you know, the whole system, the way it works there is that, you know, it depends on rankings and people are not going to come to you unless you have high rankings. If you close one day a week, it's not going to work for you. So you got to have a solution for this. A third scenario, person owns real estate, a person owns, apartment buildings, let's say. So you have your own apartment buildings, and it has tenants. The tenants are goyim, maybe, but you know what happens if there's a flood, if there's a leak? You know, what are you going to tell the tenant? Okay, I'm sorry, your apartment is flooding. I'll come back to you tomorrow. You know, you can't. You got to have some solution for them. So again, you can't push it off. And the fourth and last scenario: person owns a nursing home. Again, what are you going to do? You're going to tell the clients, the patients, every seventh day you got to leave the nursing home, come back tomorrow. You can't, you know, obviously, you know, if you have a nursing home, it's got to be open. So these are very common scenarios which many Yidden are in these kind of businesses, and they have this problem. So the question is, what do you do? So before coming back to the scenarios, let's just go through quickly the basics of the halachas. So the basics of the halachas are that when it comes to these issues, there are two distinct halachic problems which need to be solved. One problem is the problem of Amir al-Akum, that if you have a business and you're going to be having non-Jews work for you, so you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to work for you on Shabbos. You can't tell a non-Jew to do malacha for you. It's an Issur Rabbanon, but you can't tell a non-Jew to work for you on Shabbos. So this is one problem. Again, in my first example, the IT person, he can't tell his non-Jewish employee, go service the clients on Shabbos. So that's one problem, Amir al-Akum. There's another different problem, which is Schar Shabbos, that a person is not meant to make profit from things that have from business on Shabbos. So it's also an Issur Rabbanon, but it's also a person's not allowed to make Schar Shabbos. Now, it's a little confusing in the halacha because these are two completely distinct areas of halacha. In Shulchan Aruch, they are 50 simonim apart. Right, so if you try to figure this out by learning the halachas, it's not easy to do it because they're in two very different places. So it takes some work over here to put it together. But these are the maisa. These are the two issues which have to be addressed. There's the Amir al-Akum issue, and there's the Schar Shabbos issue. So let's start with the Amir al-Akum Eshayna. Amir al-Akum, you can't tell a non-Jew to work for you on Shabbos. So what can you do? What's mutter? It's mutter to have a non-Jew work for you on Shabbos if three conditions are fulfilled. Okay, the first condition that you need is that the job that you're giving the non-Jew, you're paying him for the job. You're not paying him. you're paying for the job means that it doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter how short it takes. It doesn't matter if he does it, he gets someone else to do it, when he does it, how he does it, what time he does it, that's all up to him. I need a job done, that's it. So then, everything else after that, I give the non-Jew a job. How he does it is up to him. That's a daita d'nafshei, that's his own concern, that's not my concern. I'm giving him the job. The second condition that you need is that this is a job which he could do not on Shabbos. In other words, it's not a job that he has to do on Shabbos. You know, like if I give him a job, but I give him the job just before Shabbos starts, and I tell him it has to be finished by the time Shabbos ends, so then it's tantamount to telling him, do the job on Shabbos. You can't do that. You can't be koveya malachto, b'Shabbos. You can't be koveya that make it that he has to do it on Shabbos. He has to at least have the option of doing it not on Shabbos. If he has the option of doing it not on Shabbos, and he decides to do it on Shabbos, that's his choice. And the third and last condition that you need is that there can't be any marasayin. It can't be something which people are going to see, and even if you did it in a way which is mutter, but people are going to see this non-Jew working, and they're going to know he's working your business, they're going to say, you must have told him to work on Shabbos, and they're going to think that you did Amir al-Akum, so there's a part of a marasayin. So if you as long as you're paying him for the job, which in the terminology of Chazal, he's a kablan. A kablan is that he was mekabel a job, he has a job, if he doesn't do the job, he doesn't get paid. If he does the job, he gets paid, however he does it. He's a kablan, and you weren't kaveh his malach on Shabbos, he could do it not on Shabbos. And there's no marasayin. If you meet all those conditions, then it's mutter. So therefore, the practicalities of it, you can give clothing to a dry cleaner. The dry cleaner, you pay him, $10 for the suit, so he's a kablan, he gets paid for the job. You give it to him, he could do it on Shabbos, he could do it on Sunday, he could do it on Friday. You don't give it to him just before Shabbos and pick it up right after Shabbos. You give him time to do it not on Shabbos. And he does it in his own premises, he's behind closed doors, so there's no marasayin. So that's mutter. So that's what's mutter to do on Shabbos. You can give your clothing to a dry cleaner for Shabbos. So what's asa? What's asa is if any of those conditions are not fulfilled. So therefore, if he's not getting paid for the job, but he's getting paid for his time. He's getting paid per hour or per day. So then, that's a problem. And there's something over here which is not at all obvious, which needs to be highlighted, which is that normally we think of Amir al-Akum. Amir al-Akum is I can't tell a goy. But over here, I didn't tell him anything. I gave him a job, and I'm paying him by the hour. And that's a problem. If he's going to do it on Shabbos, even though I didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos. So this is not at all obvious. I give him a job. The way a person would would easily have thought about it would be, I'm giving him a job. I didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos. It's true, I'm paying by the hour. But which hour? That's up to him. He gets to choose the hour. So therefore, if he could do it on Sunday, he could do it on Monday. The fact that he decides to do it on Shabbos, that's his decision. No, it doesn't work like that. We don't look at it like that. Chazal don't look at it like that. Chazal say that if you're paying him by the hour, or you're paying him by the day, or something like that, or by the week, if you're paying him for his time, so whenever he decides, even though it's his decision, when he decides that he's going to work for you, at that time he's your shliach. You're paying him for that time, for that hour. During that hour, he's being paid to work for you for that hour. That hour, he's your shliach. So if he's your shliach, he's doing stuff for you on Shabbos. So even though I didn't choose the time, it's still a problem. So an important piece of information over here. That if he's a schir shah, that you're paying him by the hour, schir yoim, you're paying by the day, schir shavua, you're paying by the week, whatever it is, anything like that, even if I don't say anything about it and it's his decision to work on Shabbos, it's still a problem, because when he works for me on Shabbos and he's being paid for his time, at that time that he chooses to work, he's my shliach. So that's a problem. So therefore it's a problem even if he doesn't need to work on Shabbos. And it's a problem even if there's no marisayin, which means that if I have, I own property in Kansas, and I have a non-Jew who's working there. There's no marisayin, no one's going to see him. And I didn't tell him to do anything on Shabbos. But Lamaisa, he is doing stuff on Shabbos, and I'm paying him by the hour. So even though he's in the middle, he's far away from me, it's still a problem. Because I know that he's working on Shabbos, and he's a socket. And that's a problem, even if no one else knows about it. It's a problem with marisayin, even if he's doing it in his own house. So those are the two basic categories, Kablan and socher. And there's a third category, there's a person. You could have a person, depending on your business model, you could have a business model where you pay the person by the job. You could have a business model where you pay him by the hour. You could have a business model where you pay him a percentage of the profits. So that is, I'm not telling him there, again, that's more like a kablan. That's more like the first category, because I'm not telling him which hour he should work. I'm not paying him by the hour. So then that's like the first category, that would follow the same rules as the first category. That's like, in Chazal's terms, the classic case is an oris. An oris is a farmer, that he gets a percentage of whatever the field produces. So an oris, again, if he's like a kablan, then it's motza, as long as I don't tell him to work on Shabbos, he doesn't have to do it on Shabbos, and there's no marisayin. So again, an oris on a field, there is going to be a marisayin, but it has to be a case where there's no marisayin. So then that would be motza. Okay. Let's talk about marisayin maybe. Marisayin, so again, I said, again, going back to a kablon, a kablon is what's muta. You're allowed to have a kablon, you're allowed to have a person that you pay him by the job, and he doesn't have to do it on Shabbos, that's his choice, and there's no marisayin. So it has to be there's no marisayin. Marisayin means that it can't be, what you can't have is you can't have that there are yidden within the tchum of where he does it who are going to see him, and they're going to think, they're not going to know he's a kablan. It happens to be he's a kablan. It happens to be you're paying him by the job. People who see it will think you're paying him by the hour, and to pay him by the hour, as I just said, is osa. So any case where he's doing it within the tchum of where yidden live, the yidden might see, and they might be choshish that you hired him be'issa, so that's a problem of marisayin. Which means that theoretically, if it's a job where everyone does it as a kablan, so then there's no real marisayin because no one's going to think you did anything wrong. Everyone knows that this guy gets paid by the job. So everyone knows, like even a dry cleaner, everyone knows a dry cleaner gets paid by the job, he doesn't get paid by the hour. You know, so therefore, if it's the marisayin has to be, again, marisayin has to be that he's within the vicinity of Yidden. He has to be with the guy is doing it within the tchum of Yidden. It has to be something which, if somebody saw him, if he did see him, they might envision that you paid him as a socher, not as a kablan. They might envision that you paid him be'issa. So that's where you have marisayin. But there's another marisayin, however you're going to pay them, there's another marisayin. It's marisayin to have a goy in your house. If the goy is working in your house for you, then people are going to assume that you told them to do it. So that's the sure problem of Marisayan. So therefore, you can't have, again, this is the classic, everyone knows this, you can't have, if people are going to come into your house and they're going to be, cleaning lady's going to be doing malacha, and you have a repairman in your house and he's going to be doing malacha. You can't have people in your house doing malachas on Shabbos where where they're doing it for you, and people will see, they'll think that if the person's doing malacha for you, then you told them to do it. So that's another part of a marisayin. So in general, whatever's in your house, there's going to be issues of marisayin. Anything which is within the tchum, which is like out in the open, construction related, to do with binyan, people are going to see, there's going to be a problem of marisayin. So, these are the classic cases of marisayin. Anything, again, one of the four examples I started off with was the person who owns a apartment building. So there, yes, there's going to be marisayin problems. Yeah, sure, yeah. If they want to do work
on your property as opposed to inside the house.
Yeah. I mean, if they're doing work on your property and they are within the tchum, so then there's a problem about marisayin.
And if they say I'm still doing it? You can vote by the boss.
I mean, if they're saying they're still doing it, what are your options? I mean, you can get, the guns are mukta, so you can't like shoot them. You can try your best. You have to tell them they can't do it. I mean, generally, if you tell them you're not going to pay it, then they're not going to do it. Generally, they're not that altruistic. So, Marisayin's problem again. Let me just say, just in terms of that question, it's worthwhile pointing out. There are marisayin is not as strict as other things. The b'makom hefsed, at times of hefsed merubah, there's room to be makel by marisayin. Okay, that's a person needs to ask a poskim if they have such a shayla. Yeah.
Let's say you have to provide customer service or IT. You have to provide customer service for the Shabbos. You don't know. You can't even come because you know
that something
happened. You have to be somebody available.
Exactly.
So you cannot do.
Exactly.
If somebody available is there, so you can't do. You can't come out with anyone else.
Exactly. That's why you need to come here to hear a solution, right? Exactly. I mean, you're right. It's a big problem. It's a big problem. It's hard to find solutions. It's a big problem. You can't. That you have to pay them by the hour, and they have to do it on Shabbos. So then you're really right. There's no marisayin. There's no marisayin by that. Right. There's no marisayin by that. So again, just to summarize, what's mutter is you're allowed to have a kavlan that you're paying by the job, and as long as there's no marisayin, and as long as he doesn't have to do it on Shabbos, but anything where you're paying by the hour is also which is a socher is also any case where there's marisayin. Is also, again, marisayin means if the guy is working in your house for you, if the guy is working in a public area where people know he's working for you, if the guy is working on your property in a public area, those are all problems of marisayin. And you can't have anything where you're telling him to do it on Shabbos specifically, even in a case where, that's for sure asa. So those are all things which are asa. You can have, it's just worthwhile speaking out, you can have a combination. There are many different business models. So there's a case like this. Let's say a combination like this, which is this happens. This is not an infrequent thing. The non-Jew is paid by the job, okay? But which means that if he doesn't finish the job, he's not getting paid anything. So he's getting paid by the job. In that sense, he's a kavlan. He's a kavlan that he's getting paid for the job. If he does half the job, he's getting nothing. So he has to finish the job, he's getting paid by the job. But once he finishes the job, how much are going to pay him? That depends how many hours it took. This is a very common thing, right? So there, what is he? It's like very unclear. On the one hand, he's a kablan because he's getting paid by the job. He's not, and if he doesn't finish the job, even if he works for hours, he's not getting anything because he didn't finish. So, he's being hired to build something. If you don't finish it, I'm not paying you. But on the other hand, if you do finish it, then how much should I pay you? Well, it depends how long it took. So then I'm going to decide that by the hour. So this is not an obvious thing. Where do we put this person? Is he a kaplan? Is he a socher? So, and again, this is quite a frequent business model. So there's a tshuva from the Cheshev Eifod. The Cheshev Eifod is a tshuva. He says, this is the way he looks at it, at least. He looks at it, he says that it's mutter. This is what he writes. He says, the Cheshev Eifod paskins, he says, in such a scenario, he's talking about the people that, again, you're hiring them to make shirts, and if they don't make the shirt, they're getting nothing. But once they do make the shirt, it depends how long it took them. That's exactly like this kind of case. The Cheshev Eifod says, without getting into the whole lomdus of how he gets there, but this is what he says. He says, it's mutter as long as you tell them that they should only work 6 days a week. In other words, as long as they know they have to take a day off, so then, you know, you could take the day off on Shabbos. So you have to tell them that you can't pay them for 7 days a week. And he says, you shouldn't give them the job. You shouldn't start the job and give them the job on Friday if they know that if there's a possibility they're going to start it on Shabbos. So as long as, this is what he says again without getting into the lomdus, but it's worthwhile knowing that is a way which means, according to him, that there are ways to do it. There are ways to do it beheta. That as long as you don't give them the work on Friday and tell them to start a Shabbos, and as long as you tell them that they have to take a day off somewhere along the line every week, so then he says it's mutter. So therefore, that's a business model which people are trying to find ways to do things. That's something which is mutter. another business model which is also not uncommon is that you tell the non-Jew, you pay him by the hour, you pay him for every hour, but he also gets a percentage of the profits. So then he's like a mixture. He's a schir yom. He's getting, or schir shah. He's getting paid for the hour, but he's also an oris. He's also getting paid, you know, which is again a common. That's the common thing. It's not at all unusual that he also gets paid a percent for every job he gets in. He gets paid the percentage. You know, if he sells a house, whatever it is, he gets paid a percentage. He's a mixture. So there, Rav Moshe's a chuv about that. Basically, Rav Moshe's makel that you can look at him like an oris, at least if there's a tzoruch, if you have to. Again, there's some room to be makel by that. So, okay, those are all the questions of Amir al Akum. That was all the first issue. The first issue of Amir al Akum having a non-Jew work for you. So those are some of the basic facts a person needs to know. Then there's this other complete, again, different issue, Schar Shabbos. You can't make profit on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to make money on Shabbos. Again, so if you have a business which is running, even if you can get around the other problems, you're earning money. Shabbos is mutter, according to the poskim, if you're getting paid a lump sum, which includes work which is not done on Shabbos, and the job includes work which is not done on Shabbos. It's one job. It's one job. The job is that the person is paying you for whatever service you're providing. The service that you're providing includes Shabbos work and non-Shabbos work, and he's paying you one sum for all of it. So therefore, you have a job. Part of your job is to work. It's true. Part of your job, part of the schar you're getting is from work which is done on Shabbos. Part of the money you're getting is schar Shabbos, but you're getting it, in the poskim's words, you're getting it b'havla. You're getting it as part of a larger package. In other words, you have a job. The job includes components which are done on Shabbos and components which are done not on Shabbos. Thank you very much. There are components which are done on Shabbos, components which are done not on Shabbos. It's one job, and you get paid one amount. So if it's b'havla, then it's mutter. So again, there are ways to work it out. Even if most of the work is done on Shabbos, it doesn't matter. As long as it's one job and there's some component of it which is done not on Shabbos, and there's some component of the payment which is for non-Shabbos work, so then there's no problem with Schar Shabbos. Meikra din, Schar Shabbos is mutter if for a mitzvah. The Chazal are not so excited about it. Chazal say in a row is siman bracha, that a person, you know, but you know, that a person's not going to have great hatzlacha from that, but it is mutter. One thing a person can do, especially if it's a mitzvah, a person leans. You know, he should get paid for his leaning, you know, but he doesn't want to take the money, he's not a siman bracha. One thing you can definitely do is to have an informal system. I don't guarantee you any payment, but when you lean in my shul, I give you presents, you know, even though it's understood, even though you know and I know that the reason you're getting presents is because you're leaning in my shul, But again, as long again, Be'etzem Schar Shabbos here is really muta because it's really a mitzvah. As far as the Eid Aroros Simen Bracha, the post can say that if it's not done as a guarantee, it's not. That's just a matana. That's muta. So that's a relatively easy solution for that. also, it's worthwhile speaking out that the Mishnah Berurah says that a doctor's allowed to take Schar Shabbos because otherwise he's not going to go help people and save people's lives, whatever, you know. So, you know, we want doctors to not think twice about working on Shabbos if they need to. So then, so that's Mutzah. And the reason, and just one other thing, the reason that Schar Shabbos is also is because of Gzeira. The reason it's also is that it's Gzeira. The reason you can't take money for things which are for work on Shabbos is because it might lead, the Mishnah Berurah says, it might lead to Mecha Chamemka. It might lead to buying and selling. So therefore, it goes without saying that actual Mecha Chamemka is for sure Asa, right? You can't buy and sell on Shabbos. Actual Mecha Chamemka is for sure Asa. Some Mecha Chamemka, which is Mutzah on Shabbos, for whatever reason, then there wouldn't be any problem of Schar Shabbos, right? Then, in other words, the Mishnah Berurah says, if I sell food and somebody comes to my house and he takes food, and we don't discuss the price or the amount or whatever, and he takes food and he comes and pays me after Shabbos, and in such a case, I'm allowed to take the money. Right there, once it's a case where the poskim allow that, where the halacha allows the mecha chamemka, then taking the money is allowed too. So, but generally, most generally, mecha chamemka is also on Shabbos, and therefore, you know, Schar Shabbos is a gzeira onto mecha chamemka. So, before we go back to the four examples I started off with, one last fact. Now that we know about Amir al-Akum, we know about Schar Shabbos. One other important fact, which is that many of these questions which we have, there's another solution. One solution, which is not an ideal solution, but is a solution which, if necessary, can be done, which is to have a partnership with a non-Jew. If a person has a partnership with a non-Jew, this is a way of getting around many of the Shabbos issues. If there's no other solution, one solution is to have a partnership with a non-Jew, and the non-Jew owns the business for Shabbos. And whatever goes on Shabbos is the non-Jews, you know. So then the Jew's not involved. I'm not involved. I don't have any problem with Schar Shabbos. I'm not getting the money. He's getting the money. I don't have a problem with Amir al-Akum. I'm not telling the guy to do anything. He's it. It's not even my business. I don't own it. He owns it on Shabbos, you know. So you can have a partnership. Ideally, the best of all is to have a partnership where, from the beginning, before I even start the business, I start it together with a non-Jew. That's a real partnership. That's a partnership where we can make it, where we have, halacha gives us more leeway, where we can set it up. Originally, for Mitzchila, we can set it up that, you know, that the non-Jew will own it on Shabbos, I'll own it on Sunday, and it'll balance each other out. And that way, that's a chance to recoup the profits you're going to lose from Shabbos. So, you know, that's the ideal. If not, if a person didn't do that, and they started off only owning the business themselves, and then they realized they have problems with Shabbos, so then a person could sell the business to a guy for Shabbos if they need. But again, then if they sell the business to the guy, then, you know, they can't take the profits for that day. You know, so again. Yes, there could very well be an issue of Marisayan. So thank you, that's a very good point. Thank you for bringing that up. So the way to solve that problem is to let everyone know that you have a Goyish Shutuf. So that, you know, in other words, this has to be, in other words, if it's not common knowledge, if everyone thinks that you own it, there's going to be a problem of Marisayan. If you put a big sign up, you know, this thing is owned by, you know, a Shutuf, so the two of us, you know, so then everyone knows, you know, if a person does that and he has a business which is in a Jewish area, and it's going to be open on Shabbos, then yes, then he has to make sure that everyone knows that.
I think that was the setup before they turned over to a different company with the coffee beans. They were open on Shabbos.
So which company?
Coffee Bean.
Oh, yeah, right. So they had a... I might be mistaken, but I believe that at the time Coffee Bean had a sign hanging up on the premises. You know, do people read the signs? You know, but you know, the, what the hell, you know. If there's a sign up, then anyone who has any questions can come and look, and they'll see the sign. You know, I guess, you know, it seems. I mean, it seems like if you put a sign up and it's out there for the public, you know, domain for anyone to come look at, it seems that that's you know.
Yeah, you said for the partnership with the guy to work, does the guy have to get at least 1/7 of the profit or more?
So the guy should get the profits from Shabbos, but again, you know, I'm selling him that business so that I can charge him for that. So, you know, there are ways to, you know, depending, again, if a person should get a Rav who is going to help them sell the business with a shtar, and then the shtar should be structured in such a way that there's compensation, you know, like when I'm selling the business, you know, he has to pay me for the business, but, you know, so you know, it has to be worked out like that. when you sell a business to a non-Jew, you know, according to many poskim, you can't, you know, if you're selling him a business, if he has nothing to do with that business, he wouldn't have the faintest idea how to run that business. So it's like kind of like a harama. It's kind of like, what is this? I'm selling a business which he has no connection to whatsoever. He could, you know, clearly I'm running the business. Clearly it's my business. You know, if you sell the business, you really want to try and sell it to somebody who has some, you know, some involvement in this business. You know, that there's some reality to this. You know, he works for this business, or he's you know, he's somebody who knows how to do this business. You know, that he's somebody that it would make sense that he would own this business. You know, so yeah, so a person would like to look for something like that. Anyway, now that we know the basics of the halacha, so now we can go back to our four scenarios. So the first scenario I said again, the first scenario was person who owns an IT company. So he owns an IT company. He needs to be able to service if people's computers are down. He needs to be able to send technicians available on Shabbos. So it's really a problem, like you pointed out, right? This is really a problem. It's very hard to get around this. You know, how are you going to get around that? You're not meant to tell them that they have to work on Shabbos. So the whole thing, that you know, your whole problem over here is that you need people who have to work on Shabbos, and you can't tell them that they have to work on Shabbos. So, you know, so that's a problem. What you can do, you know, what you can do is you can tell the non-Jews like this. You can't tell them. You cannot tell the non-Jewish employees that they have to work on Shabbos. You can't do that. What you can tell them is they don't have to. You don't have to work on Shabbos. But if you do work on Shabbos, you'll get compensated. You'll get bonuses. You'll get extra compensation. Whatever it is, you can make it worth their while. And you know, you can make sure that you have employees who are you know, invested in the success of the company, and they understand that the company has to be able to service people on Shabbos. And if they're also invested in it, then even if you don't tell them, but it has to be that they have the, it has to be that at least they have the opportunity. They have the choice that they don't have to walk in Shabbos. If you don't walk in Shabbos, then you're not getting you're not going against what I told you to do. That's generally, you know, people who have these kind of things, that's one way around it. That's one way around it is to have an informal system. If you have enough employees and people cover, and even if you tell them, you know, you don't have to walk in Shabbos, it's not necessary. But if you do, I'll pay you. So then that's one solution. Even if a person does that, he still has a problem. Even if he does that, and even if they don't have to work on Shabbos and they're choosing to work on Shabbos, he still has a problem if he's paying them by the hour, which is usually, I think, very very commonly how they're paid. Because then, even if they didn't have to work, they're still a schir yom, schir shah. So if he's paying them by the hour, there is schishah, that's a problem, even if they didn't have to work on Shabbos, like I said beforehand. So if a person is going to do this, he's going to have to come up with a different model of how he's going to pay them. he's going to have to tell them, you work on Shabbos, for each job you complete, you get a bonus or whatever, you get paid, you know. I mean, you've got to try and turn it away from schishah into some kind of kablonus. So... So that's a very good question. So Ramosha seems to hold that if necessary, yes. Right? Ramosha has this case of the whatever, the bank, that there's a bank, the bank has to have an employee available, like for certain functions on Yom Tov, his cases. And Rebbe Moshe says that, you know, if you need to, you can pay him for every transaction, something for, you know, some amount for every transaction he does, you know. So it's not the most ideal, but Rebbe Moshe is not to that. These are ways around it again. So, you know, a person has to come up, a person has to think about it, really need some thought if a person has such a business, to think of some kind of model where I can come up with some system of paying them which is mutar al pi halacha, and some way of making sure that the job's going to get taken care of, even if I don't tell them specifically, outright that they have to do it. Again, the other solution is to sell the business to a non-Jew for Shabbos, but there's a problem over here. These things do not have easy solutions. If I'm going to sell this business to a non-Jew for Shabbos, if all we do on Shabbos is answer emergencies, that means that we're not doing any other business on Shabbos. So what exactly am I selling him? I'm selling him the business which doesn't run on Shabbos. You know, we're not doing any new business. We're not taking any new clients. We're just answering emergencies. So then what exactly am I selling him? So it's not so easy to sell that for Shabbos. You know, there really isn't any profit from Shabbos that I'm selling him. One solution is like this, maybe. is to tell your clients that that we take care of all people have problems, we take care of them within 36 hours. You know, that way, then at least you don't have this problem if you're telling the non-Jew, you have to solve this problem within 36 hours. You could do it on Shabbos, you can go multi-Shabbos, if you're telling the non-Jew, again, you're telling your employee you have to take care of the problem. Again, it's still not going to help the problem. You can't pay him by the hour. That's still going to be a problem. You're still going to have to come up with a solution for that. But assuming you find a solution to that, I'm not paying him by the hour, I'm paying him by the job. So then he's a kaplan. He's getting paid by the job. There's no problem with Marisayan. You know, he's going to work in some factory, in some business. No one's going to know. So there's no problem with Marisayan. There's no problem of, if I pay him by the job, he's a kaplan. The only problem is the koveya malachto, that I'm telling him he has to work on Shabbos. If I give my employee leeway that he could work after Shabbos, the fact is it's going to be much more convenient for him to work on Shabbos. He doesn't want to go on Motzi Shabbos to go off and, there are people who work all night. There are especially these kind of IT technicians. It's not a bizarre thing for him to work overnight, but generally he's not going to want to do that. So that's an option. It's not going to help you for a two-day Yom Tov, so you're still going to have to come up with a solution for that. That's a possibility. Also, when that takes that's all as far as the me having my employee work. There's also the other issue of the schar shabbos, that I'm getting paid for this guy's work. So I want to make sure that when I get paid, I'm getting paid by havlah. It shouldn't be that I'm getting paid for just for work which is done on Shabbos. I'm the owner of the IT company. You know, my person goes out and does this service call. If I'm getting paid for that service call, and the whole call only happens on Shabbos, and even if I can get around the Amir al-Akam question, there's also the Sechar Shabbos question. So I want to make sure that I'm getting paid by Havlah. You know, I get paid for the service calls. You know, like I have some kind of contract where it's not just getting paid for this unique service call in some way. So it's also something which has to be thought about, how to structure that. So interestingly enough, that's easier to get out of, because I think I'm not an expert in the field, but I think that usually they get paid, like if they get paid a commission for the sale. So they no? So how are you paying him?
The other agent is the way you'll show the house on the Tuesday.
Okay, so how are you paying him?
Just giving him $100 or $200 for going when
So again, it depends how he's paid. If he's getting paid for the hour, so then it's a problem. If he doesn't jump, again, let me just The truth is, there's another reason to be mekel over here. It could be he's not really doing any malacha, right? You know, you can't pay him to do malacha for you. If all he has to do is like to welcome people in, you know, he's not really doing any malacha. So you know, and you're not really getting any schar shabbos. You don't get paid for the fact that you showed him the house. You know, you get paid when you sell the house or whatever is involved in that. But you know, so you know, it could be that there's no malacha involved. If he has to do malacha, if you know, the fact that he has to drive to get there, you're not paying him. You know, that's on his time. You know, you don't pay him for that. if he doesn't involve malacha, it's fine. There's no amir al-akum if he's not doing any malacha. If it does involve malacha, then yes, then you have to make sure that he's. He's getting the structuring of the Pesach very differently, you know. Again, very often if you have a bigger firm and you have brokers who are working for you and they get a percentage when they sell the house, they said so they're working on commission. So then that's like an oris. An oris is like a kaplan, that's fine. Okay, that was the first example. The second example I had was the person who sells on Amazon. So again, if you sell on Amazon, you have this problem that you're not really in control of when people buy stuff. So one mitigating factor is that if people are paying with, usually they're paying with credit cards, if they're buying stuff on Shabbos, many credit cards don't process on Shabbos. So then it could be that the sale doesn't really go through till after Shabbos. The sale doesn't go through till the credit card processes it. And, you know, very often they don't work, or very often the credit card companies do not process on Shabbos. So that's one you know, reason to maybe that might help. But it doesn't really solve the problem, because there are some credit cards that do process on Shabbos. They all process on Yom Tov, and if the person pays by PayPal or something like that, then it's not through a credit card, which is very common. So, and those, that money goes through right away. It goes into your PayPal account. So, so you're going to have this problem. So again, the best of all is to close your website on Shabbos. You know, that solves all problems. And that's really the best. That's really the best. You know, and Baruch Hashem, you know, Art School closes their website on Shabbos. You know, that's the way. That's really the best. But again, if you're selling through Amazon, as far as I understand it, it's not really possible. So you have to come up with some kind of creative solution. Depending on, again, it depends on the technicalities of what Amazon will let you do. One possibility maybe is that the sale, if somebody clicks that they're going to buy something, that the sale doesn't go through till the item gets shipped. So if you make it, if you set it up like that, so he clicks on Shabbos, but the sale I don't commit to the sale till I ship the item out on Sunday. So you know, if you can set it up like that, then that would solve the problem. Other solutions, I know I've heard of this. I have no idea if this works. You know, if you want to discourage people from buying, you know, Amazon doesn't like it, if I understand correctly. They don't like it if you close down your website for a day. But you can change the prices on items all the time. People do that all the time. So, you know, if you're selling your item for 99 cents and every Shabbos it goes up to $99, then you can be sure no one's going to buy it on Shabbos, you know. So then you can, you know, there are ways to discourage clients from buying it on Shabbos, you know. So customers from buying it on Shabbos. But again, assuming that that's not possible, that none of these eitzes are going to work for you, so you have this problem. So the Achronim does this classic heter before they had the internet, they had vending machines. There's this classic heter by the vending machines. It's a kind of similar problem. You have your vending machine, you put it out in the public sphere. You don't have any control over when people come in. You can't go around every Shabbos if you're on 100 vending machines. You can't go around every Friday and like lock them all up, you know. So you can't really control it. People put the money in, so the you know, and then they buy stuff, and you're making money on Shabbos. So you know, so the general there were posts, you know, there's chumas about it at the time that they started making these machines. the Mashag was the first one who has a chug about it. So and he's makel with vending machines. So whatever heterium, you know, it's not so simple, but whatever heterium applied to vending machines, much of his heterium would apply to these kind of things as well. And that was the basic gist of his heter is that, you know, is that you're not meant to do Mecha Chomemka, you're not meant to buy and sell, and you can't have Schar Shabbos from Mecha Chomemka. But if you're not doing anything, what kind of Mecha Chomemka is that? You know, I have this vending machine. It's out there. I have nothing to do with on Shabbos. I don't, you know, like, the whole Mecca Chamemka is 100% from the non-Jew. The non-Jew comes, he puts the money in, he takes the object out, he leaves the money there, you know. so this is the basic gist of the Mashak's Heta, is that that's not the Mecca Chamemka which Chazal asked. So if you're going to go with that, then the same Heta would apply over here. So that is one Heta. It's not the best Heter because not everyone agrees to the Mashak. The Minchas Yitzchak is a bit more machmir about vending machines. He has other svaras, but not his svaras wouldn't necessarily apply over here. So it's not great. But again, that's you know, if somebody has to, that would be the gist of the Heter. If the person has to do it, is that they're not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. My site's there. I'm not doing anything. So that would be the gist of that. So I still have another problem, which is that even if I'm going to say, yes, I can have my website open on Shabbos, I'm going to rely on that heta, that I'm not doing anything at all. But there's another issue, which is that very often the Amazon itself fulfills the order. Again, it depends how you set it up. You can set it up that you fulfill the order. You can set it up fulfilled by Amazon. So that means that if anyone buys it, you're basically telling Amazon, ship it out. So then apart from the fact that you're making money on Shabbos and doing business on Shabbos, which maybe we can get around, but you also have this Amir al-Akam question that you're telling them to ship for you. You're telling Amazon to ship for you. So the good thing is that generally Amazon, they're going to take a percentage of, for each order that gets shipped. They're not getting paid by the hour. So they're not a secher sacher, they're like an oris or a kablon of some kind. So therefore, that's fine. You know, I didn't tell them to ship on Shabbos. They could ship on Matzi Shabbos. so if they're an oris, they're getting paid a percentage. And they're choosing to do it on Shabbos, so that's not really a problem. But there still is a problem, which is not so easy to solve, which is what happens if somebody orders an item on Friday afternoon, one day shipping. And they're paying one day shipping, and I'm having my order fulfilled by Amazon. So that means, yes, I'm telling Amazon they have to ship it today. So then, you know, then even if they're an oris of some kind, even if they're a kablan, but this is like I'm telling them to do it today. It's kovei melachto on Shabbos. So that's really not such an easy solution. So you know. If it's a Prime, I think Amazon Prime, I think they give you more than a day, you know, at least they, you know, can they, you know, that they have a little bit more leeway. They don't have to do it on Shabbos, maybe. But there is one day shipping, you know, which is, you know, so, you know, it's not so easy to solve that. What, you know, yeah. Well, yeah, they are, but again, that helps. They're like an oris, that they're a shutzif, they're like an oris, they get a percentage. But right, but even by an oris, there's a problem of telling an oris to work on Shabbos. So there's still a problem of kaveh malato. I'm sorry? I'm saying, but even by a kablan, which is a daita denafshe, but you can't do it if it's kovei malachta. You know, one argument that could be made is that maybe when Amazon has one day shipping, that maybe is, or if they have Prime is a service between the customer and Amazon. It's not really between the vendor and Amazon. So you know, the customer pays for Prime, and then everything he gets Amazon guarantees. You know, the vendor has nothing to do with that. So you know, it could be that maybe that's not that. You know, Amazon's a goy, the buyer's a goy. You know, maybe it doesn't. Maybe the fact that the vendor's a yid, maybe it doesn't matter. You know, maybe they're not really working for the vendor; they're working for the customer. So you know, there's certainly an argument to be made for that. the third example that I gave. Was a Jewish apartment building owner, so he's got to be able to deal with floods. Again, these are not easy solutions to answer to solve. You can hire a manager. Again, maybe you can tell, you know, if you're going to hire a manager, you can't tell him that he has to work on Shabbos. maybe you can hire a guy and tell him, you don't have to work on Shabbos, but I'll pay you if you will. And if he wants his job, he wants the apartment building to work, he's going to work on Shabbos, you know, like maybe it can be understood without telling it to him explicitly. You still can't pay him by the hour, because that's still going to be a problem of a schir, which is a problem on Shabbos. You can't pay him by the hour, so you're going to have to come up with some kind of different payment system, which is not so easy to come up with. And you can't tell him he has to work on Shabbos. So this is not an easy thing to solve. One possibility maybe is to when you have an apartment, this is an impossibility. I've heard of this, that people do this, is that when people who own apartment buildings, they in the rental contract, they write that the person who takes care of the grounds works for the tenants. No, it's tenant. You know, that's built in. That when the tenants pay rent, part of the tenants' rent goes to hire this manager, and the managers should be working for them. In other words, that way, technically, the manager's not really working for the Jew. He's really being hired. Really, you know, maybe the Jew's arranging it, but really, technically, the manager's working for the non-Jewish tenants. So that's a creative solution. again, it's still not going to make things easy, because okay, this guy's working for the tenants, but there's a flood, and he's going to call in a plumber. And when the plumber comes, who's the plumber working for? He's working for you, for the owner of the apartment complex, and he's getting paid by the hour. So still, ultimately, you're going to have this plumber who's a schir shah, who's working for the yid, which is a problem, because you know schir shah can't work on Shabbos. So therefore, this is not, even if a person does that, it's not going to completely solve the problem. And also, if you have tenant, and it's not going to solve the Maris Ayin problem, you know, if it's in a Jewish area, and you can't have the guy working for the tenants if the tenants are Jewish, it's also not going to help. So you know, all these solutions are not such ideal solutions. one thing a person can do, again, as we mentioned before, is to get a partnership with a non-Jew, and you know, that's what I think a lot of people do, and this kind of thing, and then the non-Jew takes care of it. The non-Jew, you set up a shtar in such a way that the non-Jew owns it over Shabbos. Yeah, there are, because again, if you're telling them that they have to work on Shabbos, so then even if they're getting a percentage, but once you're telling them they have to work on Shabbos, so then you know it's kaveh, you kaveh the malacha for Shabbos. That's really a problem. I mean, again, there are things to be done, but you know, this, you know, it needs a solution. You know, it's not so easy to do that. You know, Well, Maris Ayin is only a problem if Jewish people see your workers come on Shabbos. Now, Maris Ayin is that Jews are going to think that you're that you know, the fact, well, you know, if in Kansas where the if there are no Jews in the tchum of where something's happening, then there's no Maris Ayin. But if there are Jews there, even though you know this is you know, even though we would think, well, every Jew is meant to be done like Kaf Schus, and therefore if a Jew sees somebody working for me, for sure they're going to think that obviously I did it behatza. So Chazal had a better understanding of human nature than that, and they know that people suspect the worst, and that people are going to. So no, if there were Jewish people around, you know, whether the Jewish people have to be from, not from, how from, you know, okay, that's another question. But at least if they're from people around within the tchum, then there's going to be a Maris Ayin issue, you know. So that's the discussion of Boska. That's how much you have to be choshish for non-from people, right? That's a discussion in the contemporary Boska. That's a good question. the last fourth case is the nursing home. Again, the nursing home, there's really no easy answers other than getting a partnership with a non-Jew, because if you have a nursing home, there's so many things. If you're in a nursing home, forgetting about even this, you're serving food to the people in your nursing home, assuming they're non-Jewish, you're serving them non-kosher food. You're not allowed to do schor b'dov also. This is a completely different problem. You're not allowed to do schor b'dov also. You're not allowed to buy non-kosher food and sell it, which is effectively what you're doing when you have a nursing home that you're, you know, that's part of. I think my time's up, I guess. So that's effectively. So, you know, so you have this problem. So, and the Shabbos as well, there's so much. I mean, how are you going to run a nursing home without? You have to change the sheets, you have to change. I mean, there's so much that has to be done. So, you know, how are you going to do that if you don't tell any going to do anything? If you don't tell the people to change the sheets, who's going to, you know, it's very hard. You know, the only practical solution, I think, is to have a non-Jewish partner. When you have a non-Jewish partner, though, it's not so easy because, you know, not every non-Jew can, nursing homes are a tightly regulated business. It's not just like any person can own a nursing home, you know, and if it's somebody it's one thing if I sell something, you know, maybe my shtar is not the shtar that should necessarily hold up in court. But if I sell my business to someone that it's illegal for them to own this business, you know, you gotta wonder, you know. So, you know, if it's somebody that's not legally allowed to own this, you know. So again, if you go into that kind of business, you want to find a real shutter, a real partner, somebody who really owns it, and set it up like that from the beginning. That's the way that you're gonna. That's really gonna be the only practical way to.
Is many real estate acquisitions, I think nursing homes also work this way, are set up where a corporation is really owning the building. So, is there any svara to say that the amir la'akum issues are mitigated by the fact that it's not a person? There's, for example, there's the loans are not a recourse loan, so the person is not the owner, quote unquote, is not personally responsible for.
Well, it's ultimately it's all going to come down to who's behind the corporation. If the corporation is all owned by Jews, then it's going to be the same problem. If you have a corporation which has a shutras with non-Jews, then that's what to talk about.
And are investors that are not controlling the management considered to be shutfin? In other words, any time you can be acquiring a farm building for $100 million, and you have one fellow, John Smith, who has a $100,000 investment. He doesn't make decisions, but he has a 0.5% ownership in the building.
If he's not much, Ramosha says that if you own stock in a company which sells comets, you don't have to sell that stock for Pesach, you know, because you don't really have any real ownership of any comments over it. You're just along for the ride or whatever profit they make. But that person has to have some kind of, to be a shutif, a person has to have some kind of like more substantial ownership. And even if you are a shutif, if the other shutif may yidden, that doesn't necessarily solve the problem. Again, the shutif where you can do it on Shabbos is a shutif where the shutif is that the goy owns it on Shabbos and I own it on Sunday. You know, not a shutif where we're owning it 50-50, you know. So it has to be worked out. So. Okay.
There's a negotiation being in process for, let's say, commercial real estate, and you shut down the Shabbos. After Shabbos, you check, and there's been negotiations continuing on. Jews, non-Jews, are you paying the shit off? Being net from that negotiation went on, that's involving you.
Again, not necessarily, but if the people who are doing the negotiating are your employees, then you know that then they're working for you, then you're paying them to do this on Shabbos, you know. So then you know then maybe it's a problem if they do it independent of you, you know, and then you just you know like and you know, then, you know, that wouldn't be such an issue. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for listening.